What's going on, Cozy Clips? another rainy day here in cloudy LA.
It's terrible.
I'm really ready to just going back to complaining about how sunny it is all the time.
I am too. I didn't realize that I just live in Portland, Oregon now.
And it's very bizarre. But luckily,
nevertheless,
this isn't a Blazers podcast. This is a Clippers podcast. Welcome to Locked On Clippers, Woo. Part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Oh, we're kicking it today.
So we're going to kick things off with a little bit of a breakdown for some possible playoff matchups, some opponents that we could be facing in, what do you think, probably the two spot? You think we'll most likely stay at seven?
Yeah, I think we'll be at the seventh seed.
Yeah, so we'll go into those matchups a little bit, and then we're going to get into our Wednesday segment, which, if you're not familiar, is what could have been Wednesday or the Arrelel universe,
Spooky.
Where we take a peek at what could have happened had things turned out a little bit differently.
We have got a good one today, I think.
A real recent one.
Yeah.
So be sure to listen to that to jog your memory. And then we're just going to kind of wrap up with some general clips talk. We got some great questions from you guys, our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever do have a question, feel free to fire those off. That's at Locked On Clips on Twitter. We'd love to hear from our listeners.
I'm on there constantly. Come through. Come hang out.
Yeah. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we got a good question from Mark Cronin on the Twitter stream yesterday. I figured we'd just go more in depth on it today.
Yeah.
Because he wanted us to rank some possible playoff opponents. So right now, as it stands, 538 has us projected to play the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs.
I think that's the most likely.
Yeah, which is a team that I think you and I feel kind of differently about. You're kind of anti-Nuggets. You don't think they have it.
Oh, I don't want to see them in the first
round.
Yeah. Do I think they have it to like make it to the conference finals? Remains to be seen.
Fair.
You know, I could be surprised, but they don't have the experience.
Yeah, I think I'm a little worried about that. I'm kind of less worried about them, I think, just because I think our guys are going to be gelling and peaking if the end of the season goes well at the right time.
Yeah, for
sure. I think that young squad, we could run them out. I think Zubats has shown a lot more confidence in his game in the past couple games. And, like, I mean, we had the biggest weekend in terms of, like, important games.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that's kind of galvanizing the guys.
Nolly heel flipping off of that. Yeah, this is a completely different team. With that in mind, we're still posting an offensive rating of around 111.5 points per 100 possessions, which is good for 12th in the league.
Pretty average.
Pretty average. And our defensive rating has improved, and that's about our opponents are scoring on us around 110.9 per 100 possessions, which is about 19th in the league.
Those numbers are too close together for my liking.
They're very close together. Like, that's like a net positive rating of like 0.6.
Yeah.
Hey! But our pace, we're still holding up there at 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, these numbers, I feel like, aren't super reflective with where we're at now. We have gone 5-2 since the break.
Yep.
Completely different team. And we've played thus far in the season 20% more of our games on the road than we have at home. So just going along with going along with that gelling thing, I think in this last quarter of the season, I think that we can kind of get into a groove, especially having a bunch of games at home.
Yeah, we have a bunch of games at home, and then we have like that road trip right kind of in the middle eighth of the season.
Yeah.
That's two garbage teams. I believe we play the Cavs and the Knicks.
Yes.
And then I think two really good teams. I think we might play the Bucks.
We might still have to play the Bucks one more time.
Yeah.
So at least maybe the Celtics?
Yeah. So at least we get those two, the two easy guys out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so just post the All-Star break, our three-point percentage has dipped around 10%, which isn't that big of a deal when you also consider that our attempt rate of threes has increased by 25 to 30%.
That's awesome.
So
love that.
Been saying that all season.
We got too cute with it for a while.
Yeah, obviously, like, we're really proud of this three-point percentage, and we want to keep that high, but, I mean, we're all for just jacking up more shots at the same time.
So that road trip, sorry, we go Cavs, Knicks, Timberwolves, Bucks.
Okay, I knew the Bucks were in there.
Yeah, so not
Timberwolves I'm a little bit less worried about than the Celtics.
I think the Timberwolves are in full let's-ruin-someone-season mode, so I'm a little wary of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, going back to the Nuggets situation.
They've been getting some impressive wins. So, just looking at the Nuggets, I think that this is the most likely playoff scenario.
For sure.
I just don't see another team that's going to really break out.
Like, the Jazz aren't going to fall off. Or, like, the Jazz,
The Jazz are not moving up to second. The Jazz are not moving up to third. And this isn't a knock on the Jazz. There's just three teams right now deadlocked for third.
Yeah.
And none of those teams are the Jazz. You know what I mean?
That's a good point, for sure. I don't like this logic that you're using. Yeah, so, I mean, and like, as far as the Nuggets go, it's been kind of an up and down season matchup-wise for us with them.
For sure. So
first game, I don't even think counts.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
fair.
It does. We lost. But
it does. Yeah, so they've beat us three times already.
Yeah.
107-98. Loss at home, which sucks. That was to open the season.
Yeah, that was not tight.
100-121. They don't really lose at home, so that one's a little bit less surprising. And 96-123. Once again,
one of our worst games of the season.
They spanked us. And we won 111-132.
Which kind of has an asterisk because that was a game that like Jokic got ejected.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was kind of a bizarre game. In our soul, in that soul victory too, Toby and Gallo combined for 42.
Tobio, RIP.
Yeah. So with Tobias gone, you know, you got to subtract 21 from that. But on the flip side, Bradley and Gortat were only able to muster up a combined 13 points.
Yeah.
So I think Shamit. I do not miss that duo.
Just a quick. I do not miss that duo.
Somebody on Twitter was talking about how the Clippers record post them, how they've improved in nearly every measurable stat.
I don't miss seeing the 3-0 next to Bradley's minutes played.
Yeah. But I think though, even with the loss of Tobias, which is a hit for sure.
Yeah.
You know, having a little bit more consistency with guys like Zubats and Shamit that we both know are good for double digit points every night.
Yeah, and one of them is good for possibly 50.
Yeah.
Like Shamit,
for sure.
Like...
And Shea had a really good game in that victory too. He put up 14-2-6. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a super lopsided victory. They've had one super lopsided victory on us. And otherwise, they've been pretty close. I guess no, two of theirs have been pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
Two of them have been 20 plus point.
Yeah.
routings.
Two out of three.
So I don't love this matchup.
How many games do you think we get off of them?
You know, I think that we could take two, and
okay.
then they take us down, and then they take us down at Mile High.
Yeah, I think it's two. I'm kind of in the one group.
I
think we maybe
That's
get
fair.
That second game, and then it's just like, well, we got one, and then they kind of kick. I don't know. I also, part of me thinks that maybe they can get the IT stuff figured out.
Yeah,
that they can just be like, hey, man, you don't need to do like. We need you to score a little bit. We don't need your usage to be this high.
For
please
sure.
Please stop doing what you're doing right now. Like, if you want a ring, please stop doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a liability, though, too.
For
just
sure.
Just because they almost have the issue where they're like they have too much depth at their guard position.
Yeah.
So, like,
been there.
If you have, if you end up rolling with IT in the playoffs, then that means. I mean, who's out then? Monte Morris is out.
Yeah, that's
or,
true.
Or, you know, do you play Gary Harris less? Like, you know, there's so many.
Yeah, and I'd rather have either of those guys on the court because they do
for
everything
sure,
else
for sure.
better than Isaiah Thomas.
So I do see that as one of those things where, like, I think if you're taking eight man versus eight man,
yeah.
I like
us a little more.
I like us a little bit more. Definitely they have more like top tier talent, but I think if you're talking solid all the way through.
The haunch of the talent, if you will.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
We got bigger haunches.
We got these sturdy haunches.
Should we talk about the Rockets?
Yeah, let's talk about the Rockets. So the Rockets are second in offensive rating.
I would say also, to preface this, I have no idea how to predict the Rockets on a nightly basis.
Absolutely.
I was talking with some Laker buddies. They have the same thing about the Lakers. They're like, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but they're outscoring us by about 4 points per 100 possessions,
yeah.
which is pretty solid. But
yeah.
to our credit, their defense is in the fifth
not
bottom,
as good.
like in the fifth lowest.
Yeah.
Defensive rating is 112.5. I mean, they're getting outscored by about 3 more points than us per per 100 possessions, too. So that makes us, like, on paper, decently close.
Yeah, definitely.
But you do got to – this is another one of those teams with an asterisk just because, you know, they've had so much trouble with injuries. Mm-hmm. So these numbers are for sure down. We did beat them both times we faced them this season.
What?
112 to 115 and 133 to 113.
Didn't we miss Harden twice?
Really give it to him at home. No, so...
We missed Chris Paul at least once.
We missed Paul once and we missed Harden once.
That's what it is. Okay.
And this was way back
Gotta
when,
win him.
This was way back when Carmelo Anthony was still on the Rockets.
Your pick
so
for Sixth Man of the Year.
I know. You keep bringing this up.
It was a good pick at the time. It's just
I thought that he would be able to turn it around, and I thought that like maybe the mentorship of Chris Paul would be significant in a way.
At the time, the take wasn't ludicrous at all.
A little ludicrous. I'll admit to that. I'll comp to that. It was not the smartest call. I just thought it was possible, and I was hoping for like just the last
effort,
year of his
something.
Career
yeah,
to, for
nice.
something to roll
we should
out
do an episode up. Where we go through and listen to all our takes that were wrong.
Oh yeah,
I have a bunch. I my Tae Young and DeAndre Ayton takes wrong. Very hard wrongs.
Yeah, that's fair. DeAndre Ayton, I still think jury's out.
Okay, a jury of 12 Liam Updikes.
Yes. hung
oh god. Yeah, so the Rockets, I think, are a team. I don't think we could beat that team in a 7-game series.
I do not
maybe
either.
Get swept by that team in a 7-game series.
I think it would be very overwhelming.
That arena, I've been really talking about home court advantage. I don't know why the past couple of days, but in the playoffs, it makes such a difference. Houston's an arena you don't want to play a playoff series in. They're not even close, but like the Mavs are up there with teams like these team, like the Rockets. They could finish third or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, they have Harden, and
they
so
could.
It's just incredible.
I do not think this team gets to two.
I don't think so either. Harden has so many. I will say the one thing that I think gives us a saving grace if we match up with them, Harden's got a lot of miles on him this year. He's had to work really hard this year.
He's had a huge, yeah, he's had to bear a lot more. But on the flip side of that, you do have a healthier Capella and Paul.
Yeah, I think I put an asterisk next to that because Chris Paul could go down at any
I know,
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like Zubats against...
Is it illegal for them to just give him a robot leg?
I don't think so.
Have we explored this yet?
I think the league...
Adam Silver, give me a call. I want to know what the rules are on bionic body parts.
I think that's where you... I think you have to go into the intent of the writers of the rules, much like you do with the Supreme Court, as to what they mean by robot.
But, you know, what is a robot?
Because if his mind is still controlling...
That's true.
The leg and the movements, that's not a robot. That's artificial intelligence.
That's very true.
This is my TED Talk. I'm putting my fob mic in. Both of my hands are free.
All right, now let me talk about Skynet for
yeah.
a second.
No, but so my thing, to get back to actual basketball talk, I think Zubats matches up really well against Capella.
I agree with
this. I think that's kind of a saving grace.
Yeah. He at least wears him down. But what about, you know, Zubats has zero playoff experience.
That's true.
What does that look like? You know what I mean?
Capella,
what does that look like? When you can game plan? Because, you know, Capella has significantly more playoff experience. What does that look like when you can game plan against a guy and a guy who isn't as good? I wouldn't say Zubats is as strong, nearly as strong athletically as Capella.
Yeah, he's bigger, but he's not as mobile or...
In as good a shape.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like the Nuggets better than the Rockets. In terms of teams who we have a chance against.
All right. I guess I'm with you on that one for sure. Yeah.
And then we got the Blazers.
Yes.
That's the team that I want to play.
That's the team I definitely want to play. So their offensive rating is 113.5, which is good for fourth. So they're only outscoring us by like a point and a half per 100 possessions.
Yeah.
And defensive rating, they're 110.1, which is good for 15th.
Yep.
But that's barely better. Like that's barely
that's
better
marginally,
than
yeah.
That's 0.2 that's 0.2 points per 100 possessions.
And then their pace is 17th, which my thing about pace, I think you might agree with this, unless you're on the top or the bottom, like the top three or the bottom three, I think pace you can kind of throw out.
I agree. Throw it out the window.
Because it's just and honestly, they're 17th in pace, so it's like, okay, so they play how, you know, it's like a ebb and flow type thing.
Honestly, and the game has gotten, like, I don't want to say homogenized because that's the wrong word. That makes it sound boring or something. But everyone plays such a similar game that I think, like, the difference in pace from the top to the bottom.
From, like, 8 to
19.
It's
not more than 2 possessions.
For sure, yeah.
So we're not talking about a whole lot of possessions.
Yeah, but if you're, like, the Kings or the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Opposite ends of it, it makes total sense. But yeah, I think, yeah, so they added Rodney Hood, they added Enes Kanter.
So they got a little bit deeper. When we ranked the forwards in the Western Conference, which we did in the offseason, rewind and check out that pod. You know, do a little bit
those
of a
are the
flashback.
Early days,
do it
man.
For yourself.
Those are the low voices days before we just disregarded our jobs.
We did have them as basically the lowest in terms of, like, defensive and offensive numbers for their forwards, just strictly ranking the forwards. So they've added a little bit of depth there, and we've obviously lost some top-tier talent in that department.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to agree, I like this matchup.
I think
we
could take them down. I think they're mentally fragile
from
last year.
They're 3-2 in their last 5, and those losses come from Memphis and Toronto. Toronto, understandable. Memphis is right now beating good teams. I don't know if they forgot how to tank. I don't know
what's
happening
there. They don't want to tank,
bro. Why wouldn't
Memphis you? Memphis doesn't tank, dude.
it's just too stupid. And then they beat a couple bad teams, and they beat Boston.
Yeah, I think just from last year, they'd be scared. You know, you shut down McCollum, Lillard. It's hard for any other guys to generate offense. That being said, shutting down both those guys is difficult.
Yeah.
And another arena that would be rocking.
Yeah, for sure. But we did beat them at home.
That is tight. I will take that.
Yeah.
And then we have the Jazz, which is a team I don't want to see at all.
Yeah. They smack
Gobert,
us.
Mitchell kills us every time we play.
We have the better offense. We outscore them by about 2 points per 100 possessions. But they have the third ranked defense in the league,
and it's a legit. I know this is might make me sound stupid. It's a legit third rated defense.
I think that might even be underrated.
You know what I'm saying? Like you watch that team, and you're like, oh yeah, no, this is a really good defense.
Yeah,
Gobert's a monster. We don't have an answer for him at all. We evidently don't have an answer for Donovan Mitchell. He's killed us the times we played him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, we have actually seen them since we've had the new-look team.
Mm-hmm.
It was before everybody was, like, really kind of together. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to see this. I think, though, to our credit, as I said, I don't think there's any way that they climb into that spot.
For
sure. As I said, there's already
Unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, there's already a three-way tie between Portland, Houston, and a team that I feel like we neglected that is also we could likely see move up to 2. They've had a little bit of a rough stretch lately, but that team would have to be OKC.
Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet from Lucas Hahn, former host of this podcast, who was saying they're kind of OKC's in kind of a tough spot right now. They could maybe fall to 6.
Yeah, so they're in a bit of a free fall.
We play them on Friday.
They've lost 4 of their last 5.
Yeah.
And now some of that was a stretch without Paul George due to a shoulder injury, but they did lose to the Timberwolves last night.
God damn it.
With Paul George back in the lineup. Yep. So, and that's a team that we outscore by a point exactly per 100 possessions.
Yeah.
But their defense is currently ranked the 4th in the league. Which once again, that's a very apt number if
Definitely.
It's not the 3rd ranked.
Yeah. So that those are kind of our guys who we're probably going to match up with, maybe probably not the Jazz. Excuse me. But I hope this segment didn't just jinx the Clippers. I hope we still make the playoffs. We have a 98% chance to make it right now.
Yeah.
Lord willing, we do. Coming up after this break, we're going to get into a what could have been Wednesday. Pretty recent one.
Yeah.
Actually, very recent one. But first, make sure to follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering the NFL or the NBA. One feed. It's great during games. On Instagram, you get the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your stories feed and longer cuts for more important issues. If you're a Steelers fan, probably stay tuned to that, given they're probably going to trade AB. But again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So this what could have been is pretty contemporary.
Definitely.
I was pretty pleased with myself when I thought of this one.
Oh.
It's not very deep at all. So from Friday to Monday, we had 2 of the biggest games maybe of our year.
Yeah.
And we won both of them, thankfully. What could have been had this that weekend gone the complete opposite? So the Kings would have beaten us on Friday. Mm-hmm. The Lakers end up beating the Bucks and the Suns. We lose to the Knicks on Sunday, and we lose to the Lakers on Monday. Something that's not, you know, I mean, the Knicks loss obviously could have gone the other way, but, like, what do you think happens?
So the Lakers, that would put the Lakers at 33-31,
mm-hmm.
Which would be good for, they would be in playoff contention right now.
That's what I'm saying. Their chances and the Kings are in a great spot because with the free fall of the Spurs.
Yeah. And if we lost four, that would put us at 33 and we'd be at 500. We'd
yeah.
be at 33-33, which I think would be just outside of playoff contention.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're looking at a flip. I mean, we're looking at essentially just a flip flop of where these two teams are right now.
Yeah. I think what happens is, I think LeBron probably praises the young guys,
mm-hmm.
and then everyone says, oh, maybe he is back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that gives them, I think it puts wind in the Lakers' sails in a way that's inexplicable over just the sheer wins. Does that make sense?
I'll tell you one thing. I think it puts some hot air in their sails.
Hi-yo.
No, I totally know what you mean.
It gives them,
it crowns them somehow as playoff.
It validates contenders. Them in a way that I could see them going some insane stretch where they go, you know, where they go 17-5 or
yeah,
whatever.
Or something crazy. I had that same, I think the same thing. Or I think they still miss the playoffs.
Okay.
But everyone's much happier with how the season went.
Yeah.
I think they still miss the playoffs, maybe by like a game or two, or maybe if it's even a play-in game situation, if they go on that crazy tear, because they would have been galvanized.
Yeah.
You beat the Bucks, that's huge. Beat the Suns like you're supposed to.
Well, and I think just like, I think that beating, I mean, that's the biggest problem with the Lakers' record right now, right? Like, it's not a surprise that they get beat by good teams. They're
For sure.
not a good team.
Yeah.
What's surprising is that they don't dominate lesser teams.
Yeah.
And so I think that if you put a couple of those together, it's kind of like the get your mind right effect.
Yeah.
Where suddenly this team, like, is feeling each other a little bit more and becomes much more dangerous because of that.
Yeah, and I think we lose that game on Monday.
Yeah.
For sure, with probably a crazy performance by LeBron. And then I still think we probably make the playoffs.
You think that?
Actually.
Okay. But so you would still say, even in this worst case scenario where we lose to the Kings, Knicks, and the Lakers,
I think we're barely the eighth seed.
Okay.
I think we come in limping. And I think the Kings,
And we bounce the Spurs.
We bounce the Spurs.
All right.
And then somehow four teams from the Pacific Division make it into the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, it was such a crazy weekend that everything went right.
Yeah.
It really, I was just like, one thing could have gone wrong, and the whole rest of the season is different.
We're undefeated in March.
Damn. Shout out to March. Yeah, I mean, I just really couldn't believe that how well that stretch went
mm-hmm.
for everyone involved, except for obviously the Kings and the Lakers.
Yeah,
so many definitely. Things had to align for that to happen. Guys had to be hurt. I think if the Lakers have one more healthy guy for that game on Monday, I think we maybe lose. I think if Ingram plays, I think we lose that game.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think it's a harder win, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes down the wire. I think it possibly goes to OT or something.
Again?
I don't think it's a guaranteed win for the Lakers.
That's fair. I would have.
I just don't think that that rotation is functional enough.
See, now here's my thing, because I was worried about LeBron on Monday because he had so many days to sit in the funk of a Suns loss.
Yeah.
So maybe without that loss, he's not as motivated.
And I think with Ingram on there, you know, Rondo does less. Because it suddenly doesn't make sense for him to try to score first.
Yeah, because
if Ingram's on the ground.
That's a good call.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. And, you know, we talk about this a little bit, but there's only one ball. You know, so
that's,
like,
okay, I'll tell you one thing. That's a good take.
All those guys, I mean, they can't all put up their regular numbers if they have to share.
The nummies, if you will.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's just a brief what could have been Wednesday. Had me thinking on the bus this morning.
Yeah.
Actually, we drove in today, so that was nice.
It would have been a bummer.
Would have made the end of the season very exciting.
Yeah.
I think we're all happy it turned out the way that it did.
100%.
Coming up after this, just some general Clips talk.
All right. So, what do we got here?
Steven Jackson was on a sports show. I can't remember which one it was. Could have been
Come
First
on,
Take.
Man.
I don't know. I don't watch all those shows. He mentioned that KD and Kyrie coming to the Clippers would be good for the NBA. Obviously, we like the idea of KD.
Yeah.
But do we want any top-tier point guard coming to the Clippers, given the fact that we have Shea?
Not yet.
Not yet. That seems to be the consensus on Twitter as well.
Not yet.
I had an interesting take from Clipper Chiva. What if the only way KD comes is with Kyrie? Something I wouldn't put past either of those guys.
I get it. Like, you want to do the Heat thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's a deal breaker for KD.
You think so?
Yeah. So I like Kyrie. I like his game. I think it's been clear.
We're
this
also
season.
Assuming, let's assume Kyrie's going to be 26. This is his last big contract. He's coming on a max, right? We have to assume that, I think.
Yeah. So that's my other issue with it. You're talking about a guy who has a history of lower leg injuries.
Yep.
Very serious. He's proven in this last year he cannot lead young guys.
Very true. What makes you say that?
And so yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who, like, I mean, the Cavs have one more ring if he could stay healthy.
For sure. Probably.
So yeah, to me that's not a max guy. That's not a max guy to me.
Yeah, and we're kind of stifling Shea's development. From Matt Chong had an interesting take too. He said, "Well, if we, you know, if this hypothetical happens, stagger Shea and Kyrie. Run Shea at the two," which is another question from Hilario Gonzalez. Why not have Shea at the two?
Shea's best with the ball in his hands.
That's what
I said. Sorry, he can kind of shoot, and he could do.
But he's a ball handler.
He can do some off
he's
ball
that
stuff.
Guy.
Yeah, but like his strongest upside, the reason that we drafted him,
because he's on ball,
is because of his on ball ability.
And this is where I like Matt Chong's idea of staggering in this hypothetical.
But that's the same as having him come off the bench, which I think is a step back.
Yeah, that's fair. It makes our second
Kyrie,
unit crazy.
Like, it does make the second unit. I mean, I guess it makes the second unit
but
crazy.
But we probably have to, I guess you're right, we probably have to lose Lou or Trez to get the two max guys.
Gallo would be the most likely guy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the biggest contract.
Yeah.
And you might have, I don't think you would have to attach either one of those guys as a sweetener, just with how well Gallo's been playing.
Yeah, that'd be hard, because then who do we put at the four?
Well, no, where are you fitting Patrick Beverly in there? Like, where are you fitting Shaman in there?
What if we go Kyrie,
you gotta get rid of a guard.
Beverly as the starters, and then stagger Shea with some of the starters?
I don't like it.
It just stunts Shea's development. It just kind of stunts a lot of what this year has been about.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of adding any point guard.
Yeah.
I think if we wanted to add a shooting guard, that's like a more of a pure scorer kind of guy, but can handle the ball a little bit, maybe like a Bradley Beal or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's solid, but I think we got to give Shea one more year, and especially one year with, like, exceptional talent around him. Not that he hasn't
an elite guy.
Yeah,
no,
not that he hasn't had good guys around him, but I'm talking about, like, a max guy to really see...
A max
to really see what this kid can do.
Yeah.
I think that's,
playmaking-wise.
Like, yeah, that's the only fair shake that we can give him.
I would agree with that. Yeah, it was an interesting take. He also had a comment. I just like that, you know, former players are like, no, it'd be great to have a really good second LA team.
Yeah.
Like a legit city rivalry.
Definitely.
Because the past 6 years, it hasn't really been there.
And I think
the Lakers have been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just true. And then before that, we were bad.
Definitely.
So, like, we've never really
no,
come
I was
full
saying,
steam
yeah,
ahead
like
to
our
each
peaks
other.
Have never really coalesce.
Yeah, our peaks are their valleys, if you will.
Yeah.
That sounds like a country song.
but I do think that you don't need two guys necessarily to take us to that level. I think KD on this team already elevates us to that.
Yeah, if we don't keep Gallo, I think you need 1¾. If we keep Gallo, I think we need 1½.
All right.
I don't know what 3/4 of a max player looks like. I'll get that figured out for you guys later. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in, for just hanging out on the front porch with us today on this rainy afternoon, listening to the drops hit the top of the tin roof.
Yeah, drinking tea.
Drinking tea. Tomorrow, we're going to have just some Clippers culture talk, checking in on how the guys are doing.
For sure.
Thirsty Thursday is what we want to see more of, and, you know, maybe something crazy happened. We'll have some general NBA scuttlebutt.
Yeah, we'll do a bottom on the conference matchup tomorrow. Look at like who
oh,
could,
I like that.
Who could move around that kind of like 6, 7, 8 spot.
Who's wiggling their way
yeah.
up or down. I like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, thank you guys so much for listening. We're coming at you Monday through Friday. Please review us on iTunes. Subscribe. Harass us, whatever. Just put something in the review box. If it's funny, we'll say it on the show. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptag. Have a great day.